אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Hi, Amit. Here's some of the headlines that made the Jewish news this week. We'll spend a little bit of time on this first one, because it's pretty important. But Victorian Education Minister Natalie Hutchins has apologized unreservedly after the Federal Court of Australia last week upheld most of the complaints made by five former Jewish students relating to anti-Semitic behavior at Melbourne's Brighton Secondary College. Matt Kaplan, his brother Joel, Liam Arnold Levy, Guy Cohen and Zach Snelling had launched the action against the school and Victoria's Department of Education over anti-Semitic bullying they claimed to have suffered while students at the school between 2013 and 2020. The Jewish News exclusively broke the story in a series of reports in July 2020. And last Thursday, the five plaintiffs largely won their civil case, with Justice Deborah Mortimer ordering damages totaling around $436,000 and ordering the state to issue an apology. After the judge left the courtroom, there was a round of applause, and several people present burst into a spontaneous chorus of Hatikva, Israel's national anthem. In a damning lengthy judgment published on the Federal Court of Australia's website last Thursday afternoon, Justice Mortimer said Brighton Secondary College principal Richard Minnack, himself a defendant in the case, had failed in his responsibilities and was unwilling to confront or address anti-Semitism at the school. Justice Mortimer said that the principal did not take their complaints seriously, and he did not take anti-Semitic student behavior as seriously as he did other unacceptable behavior. And also, he was wholly insensitive, the judge said, to Jewish identity, and he provided no leadership to his leadership cohort and to the school staff, so that they also exhibited a higher level of tolerance of anti-Semitic student conduct than other conduct. And he said the Jewish students were expected to put up with the behavior. And indeed, when students like Joel Kaplan sought to insist the behavior be addressed, it was those students who tended to face disciplinary measures for the way their behavior got out of hand. The Jewish News understands that Minnack is not currently at the school, but he has not been stood down or replaced. Some claims made about specific teachers were rejected, as were some claims about discipline imposed on the boys in the wake of what they said was anti-Semitic harassment and bullying. The five plaintiffs had alleged negligence, complaining the school and department failed to protect them as Jewish students under federal racial discrimination laws and the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. During the legal proceedings, the court heard there had been a lack of discipline of students over a rash of swastika daubings, and that one of the Jewish students had allegedly been subjected to a knife attack in a school bathroom, and that more than 100 swastikas were scrawled on lockers, bathrooms, fences and books, yet no student got into trouble. The court heard that Minnack himself had at one point referred to a Nazi relative as, quote, a good man. Counsel for the complainants, Adam Butt, told the court in June 2022, quote, we're talking here about a normalized culture of anti-Semitism. Now, hours after last Thursday's judgment, Education Minister Hutchins issued a media release saying anti-Semitism and racism in any form is entirely abhorrent and there's no place in schools, and that we'll use this ruling to identify any further steps that can be taken to eliminate this behavior, as every Victorian student deserves to feel safe and respected at school, and we deeply regret the anti-Semitism experienced by students at Brighton Secondary College.
So that's the story on the anti-Semitic behavior at Melbourne's Brighton Secondary College. And your main headlines for this week's edition, and again, it all comes to providing the right education when it comes to anti-Semitism and try to prevent these incidents from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been calls by some Jewish communal leaders since the decision saying if, for example, Executive Council of Australian Jury President Gillian Segal, she said the time has come for a national anti-Semitism education program across Australian schools to provide resources and support to teachers and parents to understand and defeat this form of hatred.
Okay, thanks for the update. Moving on to other topics, let's talk now about the Danira boys and a farewell to Australia's last Danira boy, Bern Brandt, who sadly passed away last week.
Yes, sadly, Australia's last Danira boy, Bern Brandt, has passed away at the age of 100. Brandt's daughter, Joanna, said at her father's memorial, "It's hard to believe that the death of a 100-year-old man could come as a shock, but it has. When someone asked how he was doing recently, he'd say, still vertical, and he'd sing along. Only the weekend before his passing, she said Brandt had spent a special Shabbat in Melbourne with the family of Peter Danby, his close friend, who had arrived on the HMT Danira ship with him. According to the president of the Danira Association, Ron Reichsweld, there may be only two surviving Danira boys worldwide following Brent's passing. Born Gerd Brennstein to German parents Otto and Helene, Brandt spent the first 15 years of his life in Berlin before leaving in 1938 on a Quaker kinder transport to London. And there he was interned as an enemy alien transported to Australia on the Danira ship and interned in Tatura, Victoria. In the years following, Brandt served in the 8th Employment Company before teaching English in Asia under the Colombo Plan, and his parents joined him back in Australia, his father surviving 3 years in Terenciat, a concentration camp, but his grandmother and aunt were murdered there, and he married Jean, welcoming children Barbara, Peter, and Joanna with her. In previous interviews, Brandt said that being sent to Australia was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And he was an active member of the Danira Association, participating in reunions until the pandemic and appearing via video link just last year at the 82nd anniversary event held at Jones Bay Wharf, where the ship Danira docked back in 1940. Reichwald said, "Bern's passing marks the end of an era and that it is now up to the descendants and friends to perpetuate the Danira story."
And you can read more about this story on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. And if you would like to see or read more about the HMT Danira vessel, you can visit the Jewish Museum of Australia. You can also find plenty of information about it online. What else is making headlines this week, Shane?
Yeah, on another sad note, just a bit more briefly, but I should also mention that on September 11, just 5 days shy of his 101st birthday, the New South Wales Jewish community lost a beloved gentle giant of Holocaust education and remembrance when a founding member of the Sydney Jewish Museum, Harry Franzman, passed away. Born in Holland in 1922, he was in his teens when injured under rubble from the invading Germans' bombing of Rotterdam. And he moved with his family to The Hague upon his father's pastry business being set on fire and vandalized. He was then deported by the Nazis to Westerbork transit camp before surviving imprisonment and horrific conditions for 3 years at up to four other concentration camps. In 1945, following a forced death march, he escaped a train trip heading to Buchenwald by jumping in the dark into the snow. He then sadly discovered that all his family members had been murdered. Remarkably, at the end of the war and for the next 3 years, Franzman enlisted in the Dutch Army, serving until 1948 in the Dutch East Indies before migrating to Sydney. He then had three children. He had 9 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren. The Sydney Jewish Museum paid tribute to him as being among the key Holocaust survivors who founded the museum back in 1992. And Just in November 2016, Fransman was personally thanked for his army service for Holland by the Dutch King, Willem Alexander, at a reception in Sydney. He told the Jewish News at that time, "I felt very honored as we spoke in Dutch. And when I said to the king I was both a Holocaust survivor and a Dutch army veteran, the king was more or less left amazed." So Ballet Henry Fransman, another sad, tragic loss this week.
Yeah, we don't like sad news, but it's part of life. And it's that time of the year where we're supposed to be happy and celebrate the Jewish New Year. Shane, any chance for some good news?
Yes, there's some good news. There is some good news. We have Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rivchen has been named at number 6 in the Jerusalem Post's Visionaries list, which recognizes the top 25 young visionaries around the world in 2023. "This is a great honor and an immensely humbling award," he told the Jewish News. "But it's, of course, a recognition not only for my work and my writing, but of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry and the contributions we make on behalf of the Jewish people, both at home and on the world stage. And I'd like to dedicate this recognition," he said, "to our cherished friend and former president, Jeremy Jones, who, of course, recently passed away. And in more good news, in Melbourne, appointed as a justice of the Victorian Supreme Court last Tuesday as the 11th Jewish legal figure to serve on its bench during a history spanning more than 1.5 centuries, is an honour that communal stalwart Ian Waller, KC, attributes to the support of his family, particularly his late father, an iconic law educator, Professor Louis Waller. So congratulations to Justice Ian Waller. What an achievement.
Yes, congratulations for the achievement. Shane, any sports to finish off with?
Yeah, well, of course, we've got the Aussie Rules and Rugby League men's finals coming up. But in the women's game, the NRLW, this Sunday, we have Jewish player Ashley Werner, who plays for the Brisbane Broncos women's team. She'll be playing in a semi-final against Newcastle in Newcastle. And the winner of that match will play in the women's grand final at Sydney Olympic Park the following week in front of more than 80,000. So we wish good luck to Ashley Werner and the Brisbane Broncos women's team.
Shane Desyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. I would like to take this opportunity to wish you Shana Tova and Gmar Chatima Tova.
Yeah, just wishing everyone well over the fast on Yom Kippur. Hope it's an easy fast for everyone and all the very best. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.